Thank you. And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark. This is Father's Day. God was calling a man. I picked an example in the Old Testament that I believe will be helpful to us. The cup of iniquity was full. Jesus talked about this in Luke 7 when he said, as it was in the days of Noah. And suddenly the stroke descended, the flood arrived. Geologists bear out their testimony as they climb with their hammers and their shovels, the Andes and the Alps, and find shell formations, proof where water one time covered this earth. And now we live in a day of history when the world is in just as much turmoil, and we say, what are we going to do? Well, if we have ears to hear, and we have hearts to understand. Now, this is symbolic of the ark of salvation when the door was shut. The storm swept down the valleys. The dying world, the mountains trembled. The heavens began to open. The ocean could no longer contain the water. And there was the ark, the man of God and his family, riding upon the crest of the flood. And this old condemned world was being judged. And Noah entered in at the Lord's call with his family in verse 16, and the Lord shut the door. God communicated with Noah, and Noah was saved by the safety of the ark. God tries to communicate with fathers today, and I wonder if they hear what he is saying. Tom Landry told a story some time ago about a fleet out on the ocean. The admiral spied a strong light up ahead. He sent a message, alter your course by 30 degrees south. Well, the message came back to him, no, you alter your course 30 degrees north. Well, the admiral received that message, and then he sent this reply, I'm an admiral, and I'm on a battleship, and I repeat, alter your course 30 degrees south. And the message came back to the admiral. I'm a second class seaman, and I'm in a lighthouse. Alter your course 30 degrees north. It is a matter of communication, getting the message through. And God called this man, Noah. Why did he call the father? Why did he not call the mother? Why did he not call the children? Thank God for good wives and good mothers. But this would be a sad place without good fathers. with Father going in the opposite direction. Dr. George W. Truett was preaching one week. A young man attended the services. Along about the last of the week, he talked to the young man, and he said to the great preacher, "I plan to direct my life after the course which my father, his father, followed." His father happened to be a surgeon in the city of renown, but he was somewhat of a skeptic. He did not believe much in the Bible or God. And so Truett said, "I will go and speak with your daddy then." So he went and sat down and talked with him. He opened his remarks with something like this: "I've come to talk to you about your son. He tells me he is following in your steps, that you are his guide. And after a little chat, the doctor asked him when the next meeting would be. He told him, he says, "I'll be there." And so when the service was held, the sermon was preached, the invitation was extended, the great surgeon walked out down the aisle, and as the preacher took his hand at the altar, him making a profession of faith publicly in Jesus Christ, the man of God said to the surgeon, "Turn around and look." And there, standing behind him, was his boy. And he said, the man turned around and took his boy in his arms. It was a scene that would cause heaven to rejoice, because the boy had followed the guidance of his daddy. It is a solemn obligation that rests upon the family. Noah could educate his sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. He could create for them a nest egg to start life. But if the father does not lead the sons into the ark of safety, he has failed. First, God called the father because he is a protector of the family. A man in Louisville, Kentucky said, "My daddy was a deacon, but he never had much time for the family or for me. He gave me $50,000 and sent me out in the world. And I went out and spent it in sin. Somehow I wish that he had not given me a dollar, but had given me himself as a pal to play with me, to advise me." It is a sad day when we spend our lives accumulating a fortune and never give opportunity and chance to lay the foundation for character. N.L. Jenkins said, "My father was a timid man. He was a clerk in the old Baptist church. He went to Saturday afternoon meetings where he read the minutes. I never heard him make a speech in the church. I never heard him pray in the church. But one day he said, 'My brother came running to me. And he said, I just heard Pa down in the woods next to the house praying for you and praying for me.' Old Jenkins said, 'That's the greatest memory of my life. The greatest joy of my boyhood is that I remember that my father prayed for me.'" Secondly, God called Noah because he was to be an example of all the hazards of that day, of all the hazards today, on the newsstand, the poison that goes on in this world today. We could say, sow a thought and you reap an act. Sow an act and you reap a habit. Sow a habit and you reap a character. Sow a character and you reap a destiny. I don't know, boys have a way of following their dads. An old man came back from the Civil War, all stooped and worn. And the story is that his son tried to walk in his steps and even to the stooped posture. A little six-year-old boy, quite often you can watch him. He'll try to talk like his daddy. He'll try to clear his throat like his daddy clears his throat. No wonder the boy climbing the mountain in the snow with his father in the lead said, "Be careful where you step. I'm stepping in your tracks." Down yonder in Chattanooga, where the Tennessee River comes through, a father who was an excellent swimmer had trained his boys to swim. He took them down to the Tennessee River one day for a swim. And as they were swimming, he'd call to his boys, "Come on, follow me." He'd go out a little farther in the currents of the stream. He kept calling back until at last he heard a cry, and he turned and he looked. And they were caught in the torrents of that river, being swept down, unable to swim out of it. Both of them lost their lives. When they were in the casket, the father had one cry: "I went out too far for my boys. I went out too far with my boys." I think sometimes fathers go out too deep in the world for their boys. It is only natural for a boy to say, "My dad drinks, my dad gambles, my dad takes God's name in vain, my dad passes up the church, my dad never comes to Sunday school. Why should I?" Oh, but there are some dads who will turn around and go the right way. And we can sing, "We're traveling home to God in the paths our fathers trod." But alas, for those fathers who leave their families and lead them some other way. My next question is, why was this father concerned about his family? Why should Noah be concerned about his children and their wives and their children? Well, it was a path of safety first. Some of the folks said about Noah, "It's a little April shower coming on." Reminds me of Revelation 6 and 12, in which the sun became black and the stars of the heavens fell to the earth, and the fig tree cast her untimely figs, and the heavens departed as a scroll when it was rolled together. The mountain and the islands were moved out of their places. The kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and the rocks, "Fall on us. Hide us from the wrath of the Lamb of God." Oh, it's the part of wisdom to seek a place of safety for the family. And Noah and his family are safe in the ark of salvation, riding the crest of the waves. And we find that in that safety, The second thing, Noah met the needs of his family. When he brought them in the ark, Jesus said, I am the door, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And the door swings to and closes out their sins forever. And there is a window in the ark where they can look up and see and visualize the grace of God. I read a statement by P.D. Pollock. He delivered a speech at Mercer University some years ago, and in his speech he said this, "Oh, that I could get one look at this universe as God sees it." If fathers today could get a look at this universe the way God looks at it, they would be concerned about the safety and the needs of their families. My third question is, why did some of the fathers fail their families during the flood? The ark was finished. They went in two by two. That doesn't sound like evolution, does it? You bring your family in. Why were not other fathers led to go in? First, procrastination. Year after year, they listened to Noah preach. 120 years. Why, the flood has not come yet. I remember one time being in a hospital room with a man some years back. He was stricken with death. "I never thought I'd die like this," he said. Procrastination is the great enemy of people coming into the ark. I may be speaking to some father today who intends to become a Christian sometime, but has been putting it off. Your boys, your girls are following in your steps. Second, I think because of ridicule, others were kept out. Why, when the flood began to come, some of the people came to Noah's boys and they said to the boys, "The old daddy's losing his mind. We feel sorry for him. He's too religious. The ark was being filled up with every beast." And I can imagine they said, "Why, the old man's an animal lover. What will the old man do next?" The clouds were moving overhead. There was just a sprinkle of rain. And they said, "It'll not be enough to fill up a fish pond." The creeks began to rise. The rivers began to flow. And they said to themselves, "Well, it's an unusually wet spell. We'll go up to the hill country and stay with our relatives for a few days." So they went up to the highest peaks. They continued to climb. And then they began to see dead bodies of men and beasts floating by. And they watched the old ark come. Majestically guided, not by human hand, but by the hand of God. And they said, "Let us in." And Noah said, "You're too late. God has shut the door." Now, lots of people who stay away from salvation ridicule, with contempt and skeptical, at this and that and the other, until it's too late. And then I think some of these fathers didn't get in because they really didn't love their families. If a man really loves his family, he is not going to be foolish about things. He is going to be sensible about things. When God said, "Come thou and thy house into the ark," that was salvation for the family. And of course, Noah went in. Do not forget Ham, Shem, and Japheth. The call to be a Christian for the father is a call to the whole household. When the Philippian jailer said, "What must I do to be saved?" Paul said to him, "You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved and your household." Never forget that. I wrote several weeks ago in my pastor's pen, in our church paper, of Dr. William E. Hatcher. Early one morning, there was a knock on his door. An infidel man was at his door, and he was saying, "Dr. Hatcher, my little boy Frank has been sick all the week, and he would like for you to come and visit him." Dr. Hatcher put on his clothes and went around that morning. And he got there, and he found the little boy with cheeks just burning up with fever. And the little boy said to him, "Now the folks around me say, you're going to get well, but I know better." And I'm a little bit frightened to death. Dr. Hatcher began to talk to him about some things out of the Bible. And the little boy said, "You know, we never talked about this before, because my daddy would never permit us to talk about the Bible." And so they talked a while, and finally the little boy said to Dr. Hatcher, "I understand it. I understand it." The preacher left, and then a day or so, and the fever was worse. And one evening, about bedtime, little Frank said to his mother, "Mother, tonight I'm going at 2:00. "Oh," she said, "how do you know?" "I just know. And I want you to wake me up at 1:00. "Why at 1? "Well, I just want to tell everybody goodbye." Well, she prepared him for bed and for sleep, sat down in the rock.